pleasures as a result of how God has instructed us to live in the world that we are in. We face pressures just because of the word, just because of the principles of the kingdom that we are in right now. We face a lot of trials and tests so that we can prove that the principles of the kingdom of God that we belong to really truly work. Hallelujah. So many are times that we are faced with pressure. It is not because people don't like you. That's why they bring pressure into your life. It is so that God can prove that his word works and that he works in your life. Praise the Lord. Is somebody following God today? Jesus said, Father, I'm not asking that you will take them out of this world, but that you will keep them. The Bible tells us that we are in this world as children of God, citizens of the kingdom of God, but we are not of this world. We are not of this world. In other words, we are not meant to operate in this world based on worldly systems. We are not meant to operate in this world based on the pattern that the world operates. But we are in the world. But at the methods by which we interpret what life brings our way is different from the way the world interprets it. Can I hear an amen? Amen? And that's why our calling in Christ is not a calling into conformity, but a calling to be distinct from the world. Amen. The world operates as conformers. And believers, Christians, those who name the name of the Lord are not expected to operate in this world as conformers with the ways of the world. Praise the Lord. Our mission is to operate as transformers and not as conformers. Glory be to God. This is what every child of God must understand. That being born again is not just going to church, carrying your Bible, being a worker in the church. You have been called as a transformer. Tell yourself, I am a transformer. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. This kind of transformer is not the one that is made in China. So it is not subject to electrical faults. It will not blow. Glory be to Jesus. Anytime a transformer is trying to be a conformer, then you expose yourself to electrical faults. Can I hear an amen? In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, Paul was saying something to the believers. This is not to unbelievers. He wasn't talking to unbelievers. He was talking to believers themselves. And he said to them, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be a conformer. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformers know and walk in the perfect will of God. Why? Because their minds are renewed by the word of God. Decisions and choices that they make over the issues of life are based on what the word of God says, not what their environment says. Praise the Lord. They make judgment by inward witness and not by environmental circumstance. Praise the Lord. They don't make choices based on what the environment is saying. They don't look at the climatic conditions to decide whether it is their time or is their season. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you catch that, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You do not watch the climatic conditions that life presents to you to determine whether the promise of God that He gave to you is coming to pass or not. Amen. If you are a farmer and there hasn't been rain for a long time, and you are wondering whether you are going to have a bountiful harvest that year, if God tells you that year is going to be an overflow of harvest in your farm, you better believe it. Regardless of the fact that there hasn't been rain at the time that rain is supposed to come. If you receive a word from God that tells you, you've been waiting for a life partner, and God tells you, this year is your year, that man will locate you. You will locate that woman. Hello. It does not matter if no man has ever even said hello to you, because you do not consider the climatic conditions. Praise the Lord. You move on the inward witness, not on the environmental conditions. Praise the Lord. Because God is not a man that he should lie. Amen. And always brings me to how my testimony of how I got married started. That 1st of January of that year that I woke up in an auntie's house in Kent, and I got downstairs, I told her, I said, Auntie, I'm getting married this year. It took her some time to know how to respond. Because I had been in her house for 6 weeks on holiday. Nobody called. No man came. Hello. I said, she didn't call anybody. And she wants to get married. She didn't say that she has a fiancé. She didn't say anything. And if she was thinking that in her heart, that was it. Praise the Lord. That was the fact, but it wasn't the truth. Because I said it based on an inward witness that it was my year. Glory be to Jesus. Not by the environmental condition. Because the environmental condition and the inward witness are adverse to one another. Amen. As sure as your soul lives, that same year I was back in her house in July. I said, Auntie, I'm coming over to your house for my wedding shopping. She said, By September of that year, I got married. That January, I had not met my husband. I didn't know whether he existed or he didn't exist. But he existed in the spirit. So by my word, I drew him into manifestation in the physical. By an inward witness, he came forth. I don't know what you believe, God. I don't know what God has promised you today. Pull it down. By an inward witness. Hallelujah. God wants more for you than you have experienced. You are made for more in God. Let me go to my text quickly today. I haven't got much to say. I believe that the Holy Spirit will expound it to you. I'm amazed by the story of these Hebrew boys. I'm really, truly amazed and I'm challenged. Because sometimes a lot of us desire a lot of things to happen in our lives. And they are legitimate for us to ask because they are within what God has promised us. God actually promised us a good and a satisfying life. God actually promised us that we will not lack basic necessities of life because He is God. He said, you will live in goodly houses. You will eat bread without scarcity. So I'm not supposed to be managing, glory be to Jesus. Things are supposed to be there. He said, you just seek first my kingdom, then I'll add all other things the Gentiles are seeking. The people of the world are running over, pursuing. I will add it to you. Do you know what it means to add something to you? It means that it is coming not by your effort. Someone else is adding it to you. You are not adding it to yourself. Praise the Lord. But be that as it may, that we have desires in our hearts. The sad thing is very few of us are willing to pay the price for the prize. A few of us will go the length to say, I want this thing. God has promised it. I've seen it in the scriptures. I've received it by an inward witness. And I'm willing to give it all it takes for it to be delivered to me and for me to enjoy it. Not everybody. We all may want the same thing, but few people will really truly get it. Because majority would run away from the demand it will make from them. Hallelujah. Every promise of God will make a demand from you. Now, Jesus has paid the price. He's shed his blood. He said all things are ready. But a demand is always placed, and that demand will come in form of a test. Praise the Lord. To prove whether you really, really, truly want this thing and for what you want it for. There will be a test. And that's why you and I face trials in our lives. When sometimes things just don't add up the way we want it and when we want it or how we want it. That sometimes you bank that you will receive help from someone, but they disappoint you. There could even be people that you've been good to, but in your time of need, they are not there for you. These Hebrew boys knew something. Number one, they knew that they were made for more. Let me briefly talk about how they got into where they were. Because of the sin of Israel, God said, I'm going to scatter you people all over the world. And you will become slaves to all the nations that are around you. So Babylon captured Israel and took all the young guys in the place, took them out to Babylon as slaves for them. That was how Daniel and the three Hebrew boys became slaves in Babylon. But even as slaves, they knew something. They knew that they were children of God. They knew who their father is. They knew he has promised them much more than they are experiencing. They knew they were made for more than they are getting. Hallelujah. And this is important. They knew they were made for more. But at present, they were royalties in captivity. Their royalty was not in question. They didn't doubt that. Praise the Lord. But you see, that's what the devil will always want. That when things don't go right and things are not going, they are not going the way that it's supposed to go, you are not seeing what God has promised you in your life. Now you begin to think, I'm not a child of God. Maybe God has some people, he just favors them. Look at that person. Everything is just working for them in their own life. Hello. These boys never had that thought. And you will see. You know why they never thought like that? The only thing they were thinking about is the end game. What is the end game? Even though I'm a royalty in captivity, hallelujah, I am still a royalty and I will be delivered from this captivity. That's the end game. If you know that God has already prepared deliverance for you, hallelujah, even in captivity, you will do all that it takes to ensure, on your own part, to ensure you take delivery of that deliverance. Will somebody agree with me on that? And that's exactly what they did. They were offered. I want you to look at some things here. First thing that happened to them. Number one, there was a pressure to conform with the Babylonian ways. That was the first pressure they faced. And we all do in our lives in different ways. When you are believing God for something, the enemy will come and present all manner of options to you. When you are standing on the word of God, he is going to come. He will present all sorts of options to you so that you can give up on what God has promised. He will bring options for you to settle for less than is God's best. Is somebody with me? That's why sometimes God gives us a very big dream and you are wondering this dream. Then you yourself start making the dream smaller so that it can be at the size that your mental faculty can accommodate. Now, you know what you've done? You've thrown God out of the equation. Because God can never fit him into your own mental equation. Praise the Lord. if he does, he ceases to be God. And you don't need him. Praise the Lord. If God says, I've given you a 5-bedroom house somewhere, and then you take a trip there and you look at it and say, God said he has given it to me. How much is it? And they told you, it's 150 million naira. 150. You are calculating it based on what you have in your account. And say, hey, God, when will this dream come true? Can it be possible? 150, where will I get it from? Hello? And then you start looking for where you are going to get the loan. Then you look at what you have in your bank account. Okay, I have this. If I add this one to it, one of our sisters was sharing a testimony here. Remember? She was trying to put God in a box, limit him to suit what her heart can take, because what God was telling her, her heart was beating like this. It's not possible. Hey, I can't do it. Oh, hey, I can't do this. So she wanted to shrink God and shrink the dream to suit her pocket. Praise the Lord. Then God is not involved. Amen. When God gives you a word that is going to do something, he is the one that is going to get it done. Praise the Lord. He is the one that has all the resources to do it. Amen. What you need is a sure word. And if the word comes, you know God is the one who is going to implement it. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. The pressure came to Daniel and the boys to conform with Babylonian ways. They were offered the choice portion that are given to the kings of the Babylonians. They said, be like us. This is how we get things done. Hello? We do whatever it is that is necessary that we can do. Anybody that this thing, you deal with them. Can cheat them, cheat them. If you can seduce, seduce. Hello? You just do whatever it is because you want to get what you want. So that option was presented to them to compromise. But Daniel said, I'm not going to do it. Hallelujah. Beloved, this is an issue that we have serious challenge with in the church. People taking a stand for what God says. It's always easier to compromise. It's always easier. It's tougher if you want to stand on the word of God. And I won't lie to you. It's tough. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you need to be careful. You are walking in places and people are offering you gifts. Be careful the kind of gifts you take. And be careful who you're taking it from. If God does not ask you to take it, you better don't take it. Praise the Lord. Because anytime your light is shining in the world, in the environment that God has put you in to transform, there are people that light will be disturbing. And they will offer you a compromise so that they can hit at you. It's not because they are thanking you. They are looking for an opportunity to trap you. Every snare of the fowler against you, from today you will go free. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. For the Bible says we have escaped. And we must live like people that have escaped. Praise the Lord. Be careful. If you are working in an office, be careful who comes to offer you something. Hello? When I was working in a bank, and I was moved to a different department, there was a man that used to do all our printing jobs in the bank and all that.
And you know, when a new person comes, they want to introduce themselves there so that they are not out of favor. Amen? Because new person, new contractors. So, this guy came to my office and said, "Ah, madam, I just said I should come and greet you." Okay, fine, no problem. This is what we need. This is what we need supply. And after the man supplied everything he supplied, he now came to my office one day with one brown envelope. The man came with a brown envelope to my office. I said, "What's this one?" "Ah," he said, "Madam, I just said I should thank you because you don't have to have given me the job. Because it was somebody that was occupying that seat before that brought me in. You could have brought your own person in, but you brought me in. So I'm just giving you this one to say thank you." I said, "For what?" "Did you do the job?" He said, "Yes." "Did they say anything is wrong with the job?" He said, "No." I said, "Then what's the money for?" "That's exactly what they pay me for. 30 days make it pay. Praise the Lord. To get somebody to supply this thing and to ensure they supply the right thing. And I get paid for it. Take your envelope." He went to go and tell one of the boys, you know, working with me, and said, "Ah! I've never seen a person like this woman before. I've never worked anywhere that somebody will refuse the envelope." Praise the Lord. He's never seen it before. And that day when that guy told me, I knelt down in my office and I said, "Father, I thank you that I was able to stand. It's not as if I don't have use for the money." Hello? It's not because I don't have use for the money, but I've made up my mind. I will not do anything that will cause a crack to come in. Because you see, sometimes the devil is so wicked. If you are short-sighted, the devil will catch you. You have to always look. There is an end game. He's looking for the end. Is somebody listening to me? Nothing may happen in the present, but the enemy is setting something up. Amen. A woman of integrity lost her job and was disgraced out of office. A woman of integrity, intellectually astute person, but politically an illiterate. Politically and spiritually an illiterate. Did her work, did everything she was supposed to do after being appointed a minister. Hello? She got there, she said, "These people are not working. We are not here for this. I don't do this in the private, you know, setting. How can people be working like this?" Moved people out of different offices, moved them to some out of his ministry. Hello? They were angry. Where we are chopping, you moved us out of the place. Hello? And they set her up, came to her, and said, "Madam, all our allocation for the year, we are supposed to remit it to treasury if you still have balance on your account that you didn't use. But no ministry does it, though. Nobody. So it's either you quickly give contracts out somehow so that the money will not return. If it returns, when they are giving you next year budget, they won't add it to it. So use what's there, oh. Let's just use what's there." And she thought, well, that's how they do it. She began to sign the money. She didn't know that she was being set up. Because the government policy is you are to remit. And somebody blew a whistle and said she didn't remit. This is her signature. Hello? I'm not even sure she has ever chopped any money. But her signature signed money out. And they caught her. It destroyed the integrity that she has worked for all the days of her life. Just one opening. Tell your neighbor, be careful. I'm saying this because the Holy Ghost put something in my spirit and I needed to see it. Hallelujah. Daniel said, I'm not going to defile myself. With the king's portion. I and my brothers, we are going on a fast. Praise the Lord. We are just going to have water and we are going to have vegetables. We will not eat what everybody is eating. Just like many of us here have made up our minds to be involved in this spiritual emphasis for this month. We have chosen to deny ourselves of unnecessary food. That's why I said every fast must be with a purpose. There must be an end game. They knew what they wanted. And because of it, they said, we are not going to compromise. I went somewhere yesterday. In fact, before we went for the real ceremony, the house of the people that the son was getting married, if you see their dining table, filled with all sorts of king's meat. Hallelujah. And I actually chose the time. I chose to go late. So that if peradventure, if anything like that will happen, it would have happened before I got there. The caterer came late too. So as I was getting there, they were opening the thing. The aroma filled the whole place. The glory of God filled the whole place. Hallelujah. I was shouting blood of Jesus. Ah, oh, John. I have made up my mind to deny myself of a necessary food. I have a plan. And I'm sticking to the plan. Praise the Lord. There is an end game. And I must take delivery of it. Praise the Lord. Ask your neighbor, how bad do you want what you want? If you really truly want it, pay the price. Daniel said, we are royalty. This slavery must stop. And if it means we are being offered a compromise, we are going to reject any compromise. Because what I want is more important than my immediate gratification of my flesh. So he said, don't offer us that. The man said, you will put me in trouble. You know, have you tried to refuse something and then the devil will bring someone around you to be telling you that, you better do it. If you don't do it, this is what is going to happen. Have you been in that situation before? He will put more pressure so that you can give in. That's what Delilah did to Samson. She tried it the first time. He refused the compromise. He tried it the second time. He still refused the compromise. On the third time, he said, well, make I rest, self. Okay. This is it. May you not be pressured out of your integrity in the name of Jesus. So we must stand in what we believe. Acts chapter 11 and verse 23. Paul apostle said, he told the Christians there, he said, with purpose of heart, you will cleave unto the Lord. As Daniel did, the Bible said, he purposed in his heart. So there is something that has to do with your heart. is your heart attitude. If you are going to avoid the temptation of compromising your Christian integrity, then you must propose it in your heart. It must come from your heart. Praise the Lord. It will come from a heart that knows God and knows that no matter what I'm facing, like we sang it this morning, I know that with Him, I'm going to make it. So if you know with Jesus, you are going to make it. No matter the pressure, you won't give in. Praise the Lord. You will never give in to any compromise. So they knew God. They knew God chose for them an excellent life. And they made up their mind in their hearts they were going to experience it. And so they denied themselves. Number three. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. The Bible says, the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed daily. You know, when you are fasting, of course, it may seem as if your face is long and all that. It's all good. Because you are being renewed on the inside. You are more sensitive to the things of the Spirit. You are more sensitive to that inward witness that will give you the direction of how to go about your needs and your life's endeavors. He says, so our hearts will not faint. In other words, we wouldn't give up on God. We would not compromise. I will follow the principles of the Word of God. My heart won't faint because I know that my inward man is renewed day by day. Is being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. You are growing fatter in the Spirit. I said you are growing fatter in the Spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. Number four. There was a return on investment. There was a return on investment for them. For the Bible said they were fresher, healthier, and better nourished than all the other children that were there. They ate less, but they looked better. Hallelujah. They sacrificed, and they were fresher. They did not compromise, and things were working better for them. How did that happen? It can only be the glory of God. Because the glory is the reward. That is their return on that investment. Praise the Lord. Hear what God did for them. Let's look at it. Open your Bible again to the book of Daniel. There's something I want you to see about them here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 15, and at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. The glory of God was being revealed in their lives more than all the people who were sideline compromisers. Praise the Lord. Right now, it may look as if you are stuck on the road. Right now, it may seem as if things are not really working the way you want it to work. But if you stick to God's plan for your life and not compromise your Christian integrity, not compromise the principles of the Word of God, you will see that even your own life will be better, will be fresher, and flourishing much more than those sideline compromisers. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And the lives of Daniel and the three Hebrew boys proved it to be so. Now, in verse 17, see what happens, because they got a reward for it. God blessed them abundantly. And in verse 17, he said, and for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning. Did you hear that? They had unusual aptitude, gifts from God for understanding every aspect of wisdom and literature. They knew it. God blessed them with spiritual gifts. God is going to bless someone.
Amen.
With spiritual gifts. By the end of the 21 days, you will be like another person.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Just stick to God's plan. Don't compromise. God gave Daniel special ability to interpret the meaning of visions and dreams. These were the rewards of setting themselves apart. These were the rewards. So if you are fasting, know that there is a reward for your fast. God will reward you for it. His glory will be revealed. And that's why I said it. I've been saying it since we started. Make sure you are fasting the right way. Hello? Because the time of fasting is not the time to be avenging yourself, abusing people. Somebody abuses you, say you are needy, you shut up. That's not what you do when you are fasting. Praise the Lord. That's not how to fast the right way. Isaiah 58 told us, is this the kind of fast that God is actually asking you? No. When you are fasting, it's not the time to be stingy. It's not the time to be selfish. It's a time to help others. It's a time to lift up those that are brought low and raise up those that are bowed down. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. They were brought before the king. God will open doors for you in places that matter.
Amen.
You see, when you are fasting, it's a sacrifice. And God sees it. He sees the effort that you are making. It's showing him how really, really serious you are about what you really want God to do for you. Because every fast has a purpose, like I've been saying. God opened the door for them. They were brought before the king Nebuchadnezzar himself. The man that really truly matters. The man that can say a thing and it becomes law and nobody can change it. They were brought before him. There were so many other people, but only the four of them. And that's what the Bible said. He said it. Now, at the end of the days that the king has said, that's verse 18, that he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. 19. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. Nobody was like them. Nobody came close. They had understanding that was way ahead of their peers. Automatically, they became leaders. Praise the Lord. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times. times better than. Hallelujah. 10 times better. Tell yourself, I'm made for more.
I'm made for more.
Ah, 10 times better. After this fast, someone is going to be 10 times better than you are. Spiritually, you'll be 10 times better. Materially, financially, you'll be 10 times better. Physically, you'll be 10 times better. Intellectually, you'll be 10 times better. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. That when you talk, people will listen. Those who won't listen to you before, now they will listen to you. Only one person received it. Hallelujah. There was none like them. They excelled. They were impressive. Hallelujah. The people that thought that you couldn't even make any impression on them before. You see, nobody knew Obed-Edom. But when the Ark of the Covenant entered his house, and God began to bring blessings into his house, his name was mentioned. His testimony came to David. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Those who thought you cannot impress them, they will send for you. And as Nebuchadnezzar said, they are 10 times better than all the people that I've had to deal with. It shall be said of you in the mighty name of Jesus. I said it shall be said of you in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The sacrifice that they made freed them from being royalty in captivity to becoming royalty in service. They were elevated. They became the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. Someone here. You are the head and you are not the tail.
Amen.
You'll be 10 times better than your peers.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Because you are made for more and you will experience more. In Jesus' mighty name. Rise on your feet. We're going to pray. And first, I want you to thank God for making you for more. To be made for more means wherever you are now is not where your story ends. There is still much more about you. Praise the Lord. There is still so much more about you. And there is still so much more that you will receive from God. Hallelujah. So please, let's begin to thank the Lord. Thank Him and say, Father, I thank you because you have made me for more. Thank you for being a limitless God in my life. Begin to thank the Lord. Thank Him for every opportunity that He has brought your way for you to receive more. Now pray and ask the Lord, Father, I've seen and I've heard what you did in the life of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How you made impossibility possible in their lives. Please, every impossibility in my life, turn it to possibility. Begin to pray. Turn it to your prayer today. Whatever impossibility that you see, ask God in prayer right now and say, Father, in the name of your son Jesus, turn it around for me. Let there be possibilities where there was once impossibility. Daniel saw the beginning of the captivity. He also saw the end of that captivity. Pray and ask the Lord, Lord, give me the anointing and the grace of a finisher. That whatever challenge or trial that I face in my life, Father, let me outlive it in the name of Jesus. That this problem, it is me that I will outlive this problem. This problem will not outlive me in the name of Jesus Christ. That I will see the end of it. It will not see my end. Pray. Whatever looks like a mountain of impossibility in your life, pray and say, Father, let me see the end of it. As Daniel saw the end of captivity, he saw the end. Let this problem not see my end. Let me be the one to see its end in the name of Jesus. As Daniel and the Hebrew boys were chosen for a test and they didn't fail it, they did not disappoint you, God. Father, I pray that you will empower me also so that I will not fail, I will not fall, I will not falter. Ask that God will empower you so that you will not disappoint him in every space, platform, and position that God has placed you. Ask for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to stand in the integrity of the word of God and not to compromise. Who is a present help in the time of trouble to accompany you on your journey of life this month? The Bible says God is a present help in the time of trouble. Ask him to accompany you in the journey of your life in this new month of July. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Now you are going to come against and take authority that you have. And come against every interferences. Pray like this, my Father, answer me by fire. I take authority that you gave me in Christ Jesus. I come against every demonic interferences. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God in my life, I pull it down. I cast it down now in the name of Jesus.